Hey, Curtis.
Hey, Oz.
What movie you got for us this week?
This week, we've got Iron Eagle plus Airplane.
Yeah.
Had in a whole lot of 2.5 Men and rounded out with some Big Top Pee Wee. This week, we're watching Hot Shots! Exclamation point.
I didn't see the Iron Eagle coming.
I knew that like Top Gun is would be such an easy, because it really is a Top Gun spoof at the end of the day.
Yeah.
So it's like, I want to do something that's not Top Gun. So
yeah,
like,
Iron Eagle is
good. Let's go Iron Eagles. Why not?
Iron Eagle. Well, welcome back, listeners and viewers, to another week of Let's Talk About Flicks, the podcast where we take a monthly feed, this month being rhyming titles. Is it rhyming titles? Yeah.
Yeah, Hot Shots.
Yeah, I got so backwards. I was like, wait a minute, am I saying the right theme? Yeah.
John Carpenter directed 80s movies. Oh, wait, that was a year and a half ago.
It's Wife's Choice, but.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Yeah, rhyming titles is, but I don't know why I got so tripped up on what it was.
You're just so excited about Hot Shots.
That must be it. But yeah, I'm one of your hosts, Oz.
Hi, I'm the other host, Curtis.
And before we get too far, we do want to give a shout out to Patreon subscribers, Don S, Aaron A, Mandy K, and Melissa L. Thank you for your patronage.
You
too could be a patron. Just find the link below and you hop over and sign up to be either a Flix friend or join the Flix click. And you
the Flix clicks.
You can get your name mentioned, and if as a Flix click member, you have access to our monthly bonus episodes.
Mm-hmm. They are doozies.
They are, where they're fun.
They are very fun.
We just hit a random movie generator and then talk about what the movie is, whether we've seen it or not.
Yeah,
so,
more often than not, we haven't.
I don't think we've seen both of us have not seen one together.
No, it's always these super obscure movies that right.
Which is kind of fun.
Yeah,
so.
Okay. We'll talk about the My Little Ponies 2016 straight to DVD.
Yeah, why not? So this is your week. Mm-hmm. So I will cover the cast for this motion
what a
picture.
Cast we have for this.
Yeah, I'm going to leave out the Navy rankings of our characters, because my cast list on Wikipedia has them all abbreviated, and I don't know what all the abbreviations are, so I'm going to leave them off. But we've got our lead, Charlie Sheen, playing Sean Topper Harley. He's basically playing Rick Vaughn in this movie.
Basically. Throws a sweet fastball in this movie.
Which means
too.
he's playing Charlie Sheen in this movie.
Basically.
We've got Cary Elwes as his Iceman, Kent Pirate Gregory. Which is the second movie that I'm aware of that he's played a pirate.
Kent the Dread Pirate Roberts Gregory.
We've got the love interest, Valeria Jolino, as Ramada Thompson.
Ramada. Hampton Thompson.
Right. Motel 6 Thompson.
Comfort Thompson.
La Quinta Thompson. Lloyd Bridges is the... as Lloyd Bridges playing Thomas
Basically,
Tug.
Lloyd Bridges as Lloyd Bridges.
Yeah, it's Thomas Tug Benson.
Yeah, there's not a lot of acting work required in this movie.
No, not at all. Kevin Dunn shows up as James Eyewitness Block. We have the other man of 2.5 Men, John Cryer, playing Jim Washout Pfaffenbach. Yeah, we got Christy Swanson showing up. We've got William O'Leary as Deadbeat Thompson. Bill Irwin, Ryan Stiles, Rhino Thunder as Owatonna, the old one. Mm-hmm. We got a Charles Barkley. We've got a Bill Laimbeer. It's just it's a parody spoof. So
Don Lake shows up.
Yeah,
Don Lake. Yeah.
And so you're gonna have just a bunch of like that guy's in this movie.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, that's the cast of our motion picture. Mm. So, what do you got for? Well, take a few seconds and give us a plot.
Here's the real plot of the movie. Bad guy wants to sell the Navy his planes, but has to prove that the Navy's planes are bad.
Right.
There's your plot.
Yeah.
Moving on, folks. Let's rate this. That's really it. That's the plot.
Yeah, it is. It's
like
the plot.
That's all it is. And then of course, good guys prevail. so, like, that's really... the through line for this movie. So we're basically just going to talk about a series of comedy bits here.
Well, yeah,
this movie is just a straight up spoof.
You have that plot with the Top Gun chassis.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the humming engine underneath.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, you're absolutely right. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, so most of my description is just going to be comedy hijinks, because this is an Abrams movie. You know, your Airplane, your Naked Gun, mm-hmm. your Kentucky Fried movie. You know, it's that kind of spoof. As we were talking a little bit pre-show, most of these movies have not, some have aged really well, some have not. And like, I think like the movies that have aged well are the movies that didn't sink their teeth into like specific films that they were referencing. Like, Naked Gun is a spoof of like cop shows and cop dramas and stuff, but it doesn't really pattern itself after a movie.
Exactly. It's not grabbing onto like Hill Street Blues or something like that.
Whereas this movie is straight up Top Gun. It's Top Gun is really all it is.
Which could have been fine. Mm-hmm. Because again, like Top Gun is still a relevant enough film. I mean, they just had a sequel last year. You know, but in that, and like we talked pre-show, some of the very specific cultural jokes they make are so like locked in time that they can't carry over.
Yeah, as you mentioned, this movie was made in 1991. There's a reference to L.A. Dodger pitcher Oral Hershiser. Not very good, but not Hall of Famer Oral Hershiser.
Yeah. And it's like, and that throwaway joke of Oral Hershiser, it doesn't, you're not going to miss anything by not getting the joke.
Yeah.
Because it's an Abrams It's an Abrams spoof. There's going to be 1,000 of those throwaway jokes.
Yes. And some hit, some don't, some stick, you know, for the long haul, some don't. So really, we open up on in an aircraft carrier with your Top Gun-esque music playing.
Right.
Some of my favorite parts of this movie are just like these like establishing shots.
Yes. with goofy stuff going on in them.
Stupid stuff. Like there's one of the planes says the Navy on it.
Yeah. That's the stuff that gets me. Yeah.
It's just goofy.
Because it's so lowbrow.
Yeah.
And so stupid obvious that
there's a guy with a leaf blower.
that nine filmmakers out of 10 aren't going to use it because it is so dumb. And that's what makes it funny, because it's literally a movie full of low hanging fruit.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised. There's planes parallel parking. There's a couple of guys play catch with a football, and one of them falls off the aircraft carrier.
There's
a man cooking a hot dog over a plane's afterburner. Two men walk into each other carrying gigantic bombs over their shoulder, like the bombs clink into each other. It's just stupid stuff like that. That like, you know, as I was watching this movie, and again referencing pre-show, like. This movie, in my memory, it was funnier than it was in reality. And I think it's these scenes that like, this is the funny right here.
Yeah. And because they're so forgettable, when you see them again, it's like it sparks that memory for you. Like it's not something you remembered from the movie. But when you see it, you're like, oh, yeah, that was funny.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Let's not kid ourselves. When this movie came out, like we were on the cusp of being teenagers.
Yeah.
This movie is going to be hilarious.
Yeah, this movie was right up our alley.
Yeah.
We cut to an American jet engaging in a dogfight in the skies. You know, one co-pilot ejects, the other one, mailman.
Yeah.
Ryan Stiles crashes. You know, he gets like, there's like sticks that get stuck in a helmet, so he looks like a deer. And of course he crashes right into a woods during deer hunting season.
Yeah,
so.
I love that there's a sign on a tree in the middle of the woods that says like deer hunting season starts at noon.
Yeah. Right in the middle of the woods, you know.
It's
a high traffic area for people to see.
Yeah, there's no date on the sign. No. It's just like when you see it, it's noon. It's just such a Bugs Bunny like throwaway gag.
So again, like that's the other, I guess, sort of character through line is like this character lost his father. There's resentment from one character to another and whatever. It's really not that important. We cut to Lieutenant Commander Block arriving on a Native American tribe. There's a little bit of Rambo in this movie as well.
Yeah. That's
sort of the other series that that Hot Shots tries to parody, but it's still primarily Top Gun. They ring the doorbell on Topper Harley's teepee.
Which just dumb but funny.
Funny, yeah. we hear like all sorts of locks unlock on the inside.
of this leather flap.
Yeah. and he sits down and there's a hairless dog inside.
I will admit, this through joke, cracked me up, after the second time when they just kept going back to it. I'm like, good for you. Because it was the same dog every time.
Yeah, may not be one of my goods.
Yeah.
We see Harley's porcelain cat collection in the TV.
Yeah.
It's just, again, just dumb thing. And again, these are the things I'm going to talk about during my plot summary. I'm not really going to talk about the plot. It's just
these
dumb gags.
Yeah.
And eventually, he's there, Block is there to recruit Harley back in. We need you, Harley. We need you back in the Navy, that whole bit, and so of course he begrudgingly accepts. He hops on his motorcycle and he's driving down this kind of country road, and he comes across a horse farm on the side of the road, and Ramada is there riding the horse, and of course he to flirt with her, he mirrors on his motorcycle what she's doing on the horse.
Right. Yeah.
It's like she stands on the horse, so he stands on the motorcycle. Just dumb. and of course we get what that classic Top Gun shot of him on the motorcycle kind of racing, the jet as it's taken off. And of course in this movie he just hits a bunch of speed bumps
because there's speed bumps on this jet runway.
Yeah. We get introduced to Admiral Benson, was it the Lloyd Bridges character, who we also get introduced to the same joke for the next 90 minutes.
Every time you see him.
He gets off the plane, there's no stairs, he falls to the ground, and that's pretty much the gag every time you see Lloyd Bridges.
When they give Lloyd Bridges a chance to actually speak, I think he sells his jokes better than anyone else in the movie.
I would agree with that, but they're still not funny.
No, they're not funny. They're just a little too long each time.
Yeah.
There's a couple, there were a couple I kind of snickered at. Later on in the movie when they're looking for Topper to come back, and one guy lifts up his binoculars to look, and Bridges doesn't have any. So he just holds his hands up. it was a minor, but it was but he sold that well. But again, I'm referencing one specific joke from the movie.
From one of the main characters.
Yeah.
Harley gets to the barracks, and that's where we meet most of the other characters that you mentioned during the intro there. We meet Washout, as you said, the other man from Two and a Half Men, the other full man from Two and a Half Men.
Yes, yes.
He's Washout. He's taking medication for a medical condition called walleye vision.
Which they just shoot with not even a wide angle lens.
Like an incredibly wide angle lens.
Yeah.
I do like that they cut to a POV shot of him.
Yeah, exactly. And they did that a couple times.
Charlie Sheen's just looking right at the camera. we meet Dead Meat, who, of course, is the family man. He discusses his family, how happy he is.
Oh, yeah. He's just loves perfect life.
Yeah.
Dead Meat has.
We meet Kent Gregory, who scoffs at Harley. He has that, a very haughty character is what he's supposed to be.
He's basically Robin Hood men at tights.
You're not far off there. We also meet Christy Swanson's chest, which is the running gag there. She's kind of I forget the character, the blonde from Police Academy.
Yeah.
It's kind of that same
what
thing.
What was her name? Yeah, you're right, though.
Where she's just there to basically be a chest.
Yeah.
Christy Swanson's kind of gone off the deep end, I think, in her personal life. She's got some really weird views and,
That seems to happen a lot.
Yeah. I remember as a kid, this is not the first, this was the first movie they were in. Charlie Sheen and Christy Swanson were in another movie together 3 years later. I think it was called The Chase.
Yep.
Where he's like a low time, small stakes, like bank robber. And he holds up like a quickie mart or something. He uses a Butterfinger like he puts it in her back, like, I got a gun, and the whole movie is them in this car. And of course they fall in love.
So there's a love scene as he's driving the car, if I remember.
Uh-huh. Because it's like Stockholm Syndrome.
Yeah.
Or as in Die Hard, it's the Helsinki Syndrome.
Helsinki.
So that's where we are. You know, we meet these characters. Some are funnier than others. Some are more memorable than others.
You've got the, you know, you've got the black drill sergeant yelling at everybody.
Yeah. Harley is reading the swimsuit edition of Psychology Today. While he's talking with Ramada, so we formally get introduced to her. She's the staff psychiatrist.
But another one of my just favorite, you know, like just the throwaway jokes where he comes in and recognizes her and it's nice legs. She's like, thanks, I just had them lengthened.
It's the exact same gag as like the beaver gag from just had it stuffed.
Yeah, just had it lengthened. And they go all the way up.
Harley sits on the same small dog.
Yeah.
and here's where we get we get Harley's backstory. You know, she expositions that, you know, Harley was discharged due to a crashing plane similar to his father. And like, so he has this trauma built up that's like getting in the way of him, like, you know, living up to his full potential.
Right.
And there's also this resentment from other people about like how his dad sort of like abandoned his co-pilot or whatever. Benson tells the pilot they're flying a new bomber, Operation Sleeping Weasel.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's the bit. So like, again, they're flying this new bomber. A little later on, we get introduced to the bad guy. I don't even remember the bad guy's name.
It doesn't matter.
He was pretty irrelevant. The bad guy's like, we got to make the Navy's planes look bad so that we can sell them our planes. So
yeah,
there's this
and Block. I get why Block was involved, but because none of these characters none of the actors act with any range in this movie. Like, you see Block being like the good Navy guy, and now he's in the backseat of a limo with the bad guy, and you're like, you didn't see it coming because there was no reason for you to see it coming.
Yeah.
You know, there's no shadiness to Block outside of just, I want what's best for the Navy.
Yeah. So he's one of those, he's trying to do the right thing in the wrong way kind of thing.
Right. Yeah.
But this other guy is just in for the money. You know, he's a war profiteer, that kind of thing. And right. So, you know, we get a scene of them up in the air with these new bombers and they're taking them out for a test flight. Harley flies through the streets of a city. We see a Garfield window cling. Yeah. I did notice, I don't know why I watched the credits, but they thanked like Jim Davis, the Garfield creator, for we're allowed to use like the Garfield like this. It's just funny, like the legal things that you have
to jump through. Yeah.
Washout lands his plane in the Las Vegas Strip after going cross-eyed. Back at base, Harley flirts with a Ramada in an elevator. That's the whitest part of an eye I've ever seen. Do you floss? She says, I'm going to ground you due to your father issues and your mental instability. So, again, there's our character through line. We meet, Mr. Wilson is the bad guy's name. Whatever. Back at the bar club on base, we learn that Gregory and Ramada have a past. So here's the love triangle set up.
Yeah.
Here.
Yeah.
Yeah, with Kent, Gregory, Ramada, and Harley. he's like playing pool and like he throws a pool cue, like he, I don't know, there's lots of sight gags and things like that. She then dons a red dress and becomes a lounge singer because apparently in addition to being a medical doctor, a psychiatrist, she's also a lounge singer as well. We get some fun bits with her, like she's trying to be all sexy on the piano and she falls off.
Yeah, she's like the grand piano's like top is open and she's walking up it like a 45 degree angle.
Anybody here from out of town? And an Amish couple in the crowd raises their hands.
It's like an Eskimo leads out and waves.
Harley walks in. He of course takes over the piano as Ramada keeps singing. We get a fun, like, you know, she swishes his hands and the keys, like,
right.
Yeah, just some Looney Tunes.
Yeah, it's just stuff really here. Goofy stuff. Yeah.
Gregory confronts Harley on his reckless flying from earlier in the day. The whole place starts fighting, because they start fighting. So, of course, everyone starts fighting.
Yeah, it was funny because it's like they just had like an exchange of words. And then suddenly the entire rest of the bar breaks out.
Hey, you, let's fight. It's like words. This is where we get the Bill Lambier, Charles Barkley scuffle. Which again, funny to those of us who know and live that.
Yeah, exactly.
But like, in another like 10 years or so, nobody's going to get that gag at all.
No, no.
Let's see, Ramada refuses Gregory's advances for marriage. there's a fun scene. He shushes her, closes. This is the whole like pitches her lips closed.
Squeezes her lips closed, and she's still talking through them.
Oh. Harley and Ramada end up, I think, going back to her place, I think. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Harley looks at the camera. We get a fun third wall break, which she says, I can go all night like a lumberjack, and he just looks right at the camera. then there's a send-up of all movies, I think it's 9.5 weeks.
Yes.
They send up here with him feeding her food. He's feeding her fruit, then a rolled-up pizza.
like an olive pops into her mouth.
Yeah, it pops in her mouth. Which I guess I was reading the trivia. She claims there was no trick photography. Like she actually popped an olive from her belly button directly into her mouth.
Good for her.
Yeah. Again, psychiatrist, lounge singer.
Yeah, this movie doesn't come off as one that has a lot of trick photography.
Other than walking 45 degrees up the piano.
That would have been interesting to see how they filmed that.
Yeah. He fries eggs and bacon on her tummy.
Right. And she's like really turned on by it. Like all of this is exciting.
Yes. Let's see. The next day, Washout tells Dead Meat he's been kicked out due to his walleye vision. Imagine that being a real medical condition. Yeah. I got a bad case of walleye vision.
That's right. Everything I see is like, I see 180 degrees in each, you know.
So you can see wider. I guess that's the pro to it.
Yeah. Yeah. But everything is... Objects in the mirror are closer than they appear.
Dead Meat's wife, Mary, comes to the base just to watch him fly.
It's like they're on a carrier.
Yeah. Hey, come on. Yeah, come on. Come on, guy's wife. Just come join us.
Like, how'd she get there?
and this is where we get the bit of all the bad luck things that are happening. Like a black cat runs out in front of him.
He walks under a ladder.
Things just couldn't get better for us. By the way, your life insurance forms came in. I'll sign them afterwards. Her mirror breaks. He tells her he has a solution for global warming.
He'll tell her when he gets back.
Proof of the JFK assassination. I'm in a jet. What could go wrong? We get some more dumb bits with Benson. He's like flossing his ears. He eats his earplugs. Harley pulls up as Dead Meat, Block, and others take off and do their dog fighting.
Harley's supposed to be in the air.
Yeah, he is. He's supposed to be there. You're right.
But Washout, when he realized Topper wasn't there, Washout ran in, got dressed in Topper's getup.
That's right. Thank you.
And then hopped in a jet as Topper.
Yeah. And of course, because Washout has walleye eye.
Yeah.
Yeah. He flies into Dead Meat's plane, sending Dead Meat's plane down. Harley, of course, is holding Mary on the ground as this is all happening. He says, turn away, don't look. But he positions himself so that her line of sight is directly watching her husband's jet go down.
Well, no, it was this truck with a giant mirror pulled up behind him.
Oh, is that what it was? Oh, yeah. Okay.
It was a truck with a giant, unexplicably giant mirror. Exactly. So when he turns her around, she's facing the mirror and, of course, can see everything that's going on anyway.
I somehow never noticed that.
It's just a stupid truck with this magnificently huge mirror.
So he's able to land-ish. He gets loaded into an ambulance. And there's more bits, the ambulance hits a bump and like, of course they don't have the gurney strapped down. He just flies up. It's the roof of the ambulance. Wendy, I can fly. they close his head in the door several times.
Topper rides with it for some reason.
Yes, because it's important to have him there. Washout had ejected. His parachute, of course, gets caught in the ambulance and he gets dragged behind. Don Lake is the on-call doctor. God, I love Don Lake. And he's on screen for like 30 seconds, but it's, it could be the best 30 seconds of the movie. Nurse, can you check to see if his penis is longer than mine? and then we hear him say, yell to his wife, "I'm in a hospital. What could go wrong?" We immediately then cut to his funeral.
Yeah, as Don Lake says, "It will be okay." Not sure. I'm not a very good doctor.
Oh, Ramada, of course, sits on the same dog at the burial. And Wilson tells Block, like, this is where, like, we need the Navy's jet to fail. So
yeah,
Harley tells Ramada, "I'm quitting." They're on the beach. No, they're like, Harley skips a rock and hits a man in a kayak. With a good bonk sound.
Well, and at the, and of course the funeral broke out in just absolute chaos.
Yeah,
as they do a 21 gun salute.
That's right.
Which then Benson interprets as it's like being attacked.
Yeah,
which he pulls out a gun and just starts firing at the soldiers, like open casket, like Dead Meat's wife is just crying out in misery.
Yeah,
Benson's like, gotta love a good funeral. Like, he's just so insane.
Yeah. Ramada tells Harley that she believes someone wants Sleepy Weasel to fail. Gregory then enters and says, "Hey, like, we're being shipped out in an hour, so like, we got to get going." Harley then sings "Only You" to Ramada, while flashing back to a montage of them earlier, as well as new footage of them as Rocky, Gone with the Wind, from Superman.
Yeah.
Like, kind of a bizarre sequence.
It really was weird.
So, well, we're now in Act 3 here, Oz, with this very densely layered plot coming to a conclusion.
I don't know how we got here in such efficient time.
It cuts to, quote-unquote, somewhere in the Mediterranean. On an aircraft carrier.
Call the SSSs.
Yeah. Washout is now on radar. He's got these gigantic Coke bottle glasses.
Like, they have fish swimming in them.
Yes, so quite big. Literally. It's like the platform shoes from I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker.
Yeah, yeah.
Wilson is somehow on the aircraft carrier to observe, so the bad guy is there. And he orders a mechanic to disable a Navy jet, because, again, he needs the jets to fail. Gregory and Harley get into another, like, M2 are not argument,
right,
about whether or not Harley is flying. Benson gives the pilots orders that they're like, here's the job. We got to go hit an enemy nuclear weapons plant. Block says Harley's going to lead the pilots. Gregory objects, but Block makes him stand down. As the pilots prep, another pilot sits on the same small dog in a jet. And then we get another little fun, like, again, the jets are taken off kind of the beginning of the movie when they were all coming in. Another fun little sequence on the flight deck. A jet takes off, and then a man does backflips across the screen.
Yeah.
A dog chases a jet, which was Patreon subscriber Melissa L's favorite moment of the movie. There's a dog like yiping after a jet. It's like running after a car.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Another guy in the flight deck is dressed as a matador and yells "Olé!" as the jet takes off. So they're all up in the sky. Six enemy jets, Oz, engage the Americans. Harley locks up at the mention of his father, and of course their weapon systems fail because the jets have been disabled.
Right.
Block blames Wilson over the radio. That says, like, we're not going back because we got the best pilot in the world, despite the fact they have no functioning weapons.
Right. Topper will take care of it.
We then get the real flashback. Block says, "Oh, by the way, I was actually there with what happened to your father.
I saw it all."
And Buzz Harley was trying to save Mailman. There's a dumb sequence with that as well. But Harley then is... he's in the plane and he's disabling all these enemy jets. Like, he flies between two of them and then, like, uses his wings to, like, slap the wings. And he goes, "I learned this one from Paula Abdul."
It's like, starts spitting. Like, it's just another throwaway joke that just no one will understand in 5 years.
At this time, Charlie's brother Emilio was actually married to Paula Abdul.
Ooh, good for Emilio.
Yep. Or good for Paula, depending on perspective.
Good point. Good for Emilio.
He's a cold-hearted snake. He they a couple of missiles get fired at him, but of course he flies the facility and does the whole, like, use the missiles that are fired at him to blow up the facility. We then get a moment that, as when I was a kid, the first time I saw this movie, I laughed so hard at this shot. Because, of course, in this weapons facility, Saddam Hussein is there.
Yeah.
And he's, like, lying in a lounger, sipping a drink, and does a spit take as this gigantic bomb falls directly in his lap. And he just...
Yeah. Poof.
And I don't know what it was, but, like, 12-year-old Curtis found that hysterical. So the weapons plant is blown up. They all land safely. Harley tells the camera he's going to Disneyland. Block gets a blood transfusion because he actually took some gunfire up there. And you see, like, the guy next to him is getting drained completely. Like,
yeah.
Like, he's imploding from lack of fluids.
Included, like, the, like, straw sound when the drink is empty.
Oh, Benson punches Wilson, who falls into a dentist chair somehow. and the dentist immediately starts drilling in his teeth. a party welcomes the pilots back. A little girl is eating a man's beard instead of cotton candy. Ramada runs up, knocking guys off the aircraft carrier. And Harley begins to fly a jet off the aircraft carrier. Ramada chases him on a horse. And if somehow we cut to a herd of buffalo back in the tribe, so we're back where we started.
Because that's where he flew back to.
Yes, in his jet. He tells the elder, "I fell in love with a woman," and Ramada emerges.
Not before he gives him his batteries that he brought for his walk.
That's right, because that's really the only reason why the elder wanted him to go.
Right, bring back some batteries.
Ramada comes out and says her name is now Little Sizzling Belly. He drops a steak onto the same small dog. And we roll the credits, Oz.
Yeah.
I don't know how closely you watch the credits. during the credits, they seed in brownie baking instructions and, like, other nonsense.
Yeah, that, Abrams, his movies always do stuff like that. Yeah. Like, it's fun, but
yeah,
it I did not stick around for the credits for this one.
So that's Hot Shots, folks. So that 1991's Hot Shots! Exclamation point.
Yeah.
At this point of the movie, or at this point in the show, folks, Oz and I give our own unique rating to the film we've been yapping about, Hot Shots. Oz, how would you rate this flick?
I'm going to give this 52 slices of belly bacon.
Ooh, that's the best kind of bacon.
Mm-hmm. So, not fat back.
Belly bacon.
what are you giving it?
Oh, I'll go with 57 exclamation points.
All right, that works. That'll be easy to find.
That one's for you. After some of the things I have to have you image search. Next up is Outside Insights. Oz and I, folks, have been scouring the interwebs, searching for unprofessional reviews that tickle our funny bones, and we hope they tickle yours as well. Oz, what is your Outside Insight?
I have a review from Callisto on Letterboxd.
The X-Men villain Callisto?
Yep. Left June 9th of last year. I miss parody movies like this. I'm only 2 minutes in, but there are so many great visual gags already. I'm a little worried that this is PG-13, whereas the greats of Airplane and Top Secret had more adult jokes when you could do that in good old days of the PG rating. I was curious how old Charlie Sheen was in this, so I just searched his name. He's like 26, but looks much older. But I saw several news articles that said his and Denise Richards' daughter, Sammy Sheen, 19 years of age, posted a TikTok of her getting ready for her job as a sex worker, a non-nude OnlyFans photo shoot. It's crazy how I learn things these days. And I also didn't know the other guy from 2.5 Men is in this film. Anyway, the reason I'm watching is because 1BL15 told me about the sex scene involving frying an egg on a woman's belly, which reminded me that I have not seen Hot Shots. Maybe this was too tame for me overall. There were a few good gags, but I was mostly bored. Maybe I'll check out Part Deux tomorrow for a laid-back watch. Half star.
Is this person, like, narrating to themselves?
I think so.
Maybe I'll watch Part Deux tomorrow, then I'll do some laundry.
Exactly.
And pick up the clothes from the dry cleaners.
Right. Yeah. They've mistaken Letterboxd for their own personal journal.
Any review that has the word, that starts the sentence with the word anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Back to the to the topic. But I miss parody movies like this. Half star.
Yeah.
Thanks, Callisto, for your input. Mm-hmm. What do you got?
Mine is a 1 out of 10 review from the Internet Movie Database, left in 1999 from Bubina.
Ooh.
Newspaper said, Hot Shots is the mother of all films. I saw it and tried my best to laugh, but it was not funny at all. If this film really was the mother of all films, then the film industry could say good night and stop producing. The mother of all films. when I think of maternal in films, I think exactly. I think Hot Shots.
Hot Shots. Hot Shots has to have children, right?
Oh, yeah, so that's our Outside Insights. Hey, folks, it's that point in the show you've all been waiting for, our signature segment, the 3-2-1, in which Oz and I each share 3 goods, 2 bads, and 1 huh about the film in question, Hot Shots. Oz, what are your 3 goods?
My first one is just, and I say this not tongue-in-cheek, but you'll understand, watching accomplished actors like sell these silly gags is funny to me.
Yeah.
You know, when you've got that next wave of parody films, like your Date Movie and Scary Movie and things like, it's yeah. like those, like you're just finding some dime store actors and actresses to fill your roles to keep your budget down. But it's like, this movie had actors who have done things.
Yes, it has at least talent-ish. Like there's, yeah. I'm not saying these are like, you know, like, thespians.
Oscar, yeah, they're not, yeah, exactly. They're not no, Oscar-worthy actors.
No, but Tony Hopkins.
No. But, you know, Charlie Sheen, Cary Elwes, John Cryer. Like, yes,
people who know the job.
Yeah, they have a career in yes. film because they could do things. They're so good watching them sell these silly gags is just yeah. fun to me. Two is that sitting on the tiny dog through gag. It's just
that was going to be one of mine.
The first time wasn't funny, but as they kept doing
as the bit kept going, the same dog, and it happens like 6 or 7 yeah. times.
And it's like nobody, like they don't pay any extra attention to it. Just somebody goes to sit down. Like they put enough time between each gag that you forget about the gag.
Yeah.
And then they go to sit down at a funeral. There's the dog. They go to sit down in the cockpit. There's the dog. It's just funny enough.
Yeah.
And then Dead Meat's entire bad luck death yeah. scene. just the way he and his wife are so confidently vocalizing all of these things yes. that, of course,
what could just, possibly go wrong?
Right. Just telegraphing that yeah. we know. I mean, even before it happens, we know exactly what's going to happen yeah. with a character named Dead Meat. And it was just funny.
I'll sign the life insurance papers after I get out of this jet.
Yeah, I'll tell you all about it. I've finally broken the case on the JFK assassination. I'll tell you all about it when I get back. He like pats his pocket. I got the secret right here. and so that was my third good. I just found it funny. So yep. What do you got?
I'm going to go with, again, similar to you, just bits in the movie. The bit where he's cooking on her tummy, I like how he checks he's checking on the bacon and eggs with a spatula. Gotta make sure it's well done, yeah. You know.
He's cooking.
Yeah, he's legitimately cooking a meal. So you gotta make sure you're doing it right.
She's laying there oohing and awing, like ooh, ah.
Where do you get the spatula from?
Yeah, who knows? Spatula City, probably.
He bought 12 and got the 13th for just 1 penny. My second good is the dog chasing the plane as it took off. It's just yapping at it, you know, like it's chasing a car down the driveway. And my last, I didn't mention this one in detail earlier, but when they had that little quick montage sequence of Gone uh-huh. with the Wind and Rocky and Superman, during the Superman bit, it's the scene in you know, 77's Richard Donner Superman yeah. where, that, you know, he and Lois are flying, and I will say she looks just like
she did. Yes. She nailed Margot Kidder.
Yes, she looked just like Margot Kidder. However, a pigeon, I think it was a pigeon, lands on his hand, and he goes to shake it off. And my third good here is the sound the pigeon makes as he's trying to shake it off. It's like.
Yeah, because that it was a cute scene, and then the bird wouldn't leave.
Yeah. So the sound the pigeon makes as he's trying to shake it off his hand is my third good.
Good for you.
Yep. So, hey, Oz, what are your 2 bads?
In a movie like this, obviously not all the jokes are going to land.
Yes.
And even if they landed at the time, they don't necessarily stick. I'm like, time does things to entertainment. Yeah. And so even when they were, yeah, I don't know what nationality it was. Maybe it was Iraqi, you know, that they were facing there in the final. But anytime anyone spoke in a foreign language, it was never a foreign language. It was just gibberish about that culture.
This was one of my possible bads as well, yeah.
And so you could keep it, because I'm just going with it. Obviously, not all the jokes are going to land.
Yeah.
And that's really my first. My second one is, like, the subplot for this film was, like, pretty serious considering, like, just the spoof platform.
Yeah, like the trauma.
Yeah, well, the trauma and the, like...
Like the war profiteering?
Like, yeah, like, trying to get the Navy planes to fail and, like, sabotaging the planes, putting all these pilots at risk just, you know, to sell some new jets. Like, it just is a very serious, heavy subplot for a spoof platform.
Yeah.
Like, it would have made, like, get rid of the spoof, like, it would have been, like, a drama thriller type of film, you know, without the spoof on top of it.
Disable so those are my Navy jets to send to sell them, you know.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, it's like we've got to profit off this. And so those are my two bads. What do you got?
My first bad, the Lloyd Bridges gags got old really fast. Like, they did. Really fast. Like, it was the same. Okay, he's old and senile.
Yeah.
Okay. He's old and senile.
We get it.
Yep, he's senile and he's old. And it was just, it was that same bit over and over and over for 90 minutes. And it just got old fast. So that's my first bad. Like, yeah, they could have given him more to do.
Yeah.
And my second bad, and this is a pet peeve of mine, also taking place, counter one of my goods, the checking on the bacon and eggs. When she pops that olive into her mouth, she chews it with her mouth open.
Yeah, I and almost had like, that like, as well. Yeah, I did. I almost. It wasn't just the olive. It was anytime he fed her.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that too. I watched it. I'm like, gosh, she eats weird.
Chew with your mouth closed.
Right, yeah.
So that's my second bad. It's just chew with your mouth closed.
I honestly almost had that as a bad.
Yeah. Yeah, that is a huge pet peeve of mine, and so I'm just like,
don't do that with her,
every
Charlie.
Time they cut back to her, yeah.
That's not how you chew sexily.
No, no, that's how you drive people away.
Right.
That's a red flag for me. So those are my two bads. Hey, Oz, what's your huh?
Let's stick with Ramada red flags. Why does she kiss with her eyes open?
I don't think I noticed that, but
yeah,
I won't
like
be able
there
to
were there were
time.
A couple like really two like let's get Topper and Ramada like really engaged in a passionate kiss, and in both instances, Charlie Sheen comes in with his eyes closed, Ramada comes in with her eyes open. And looks at him for just a beat or two before closing her eyes. And and I noticed that both, I'm like, the first time I noticed, and then later on, I was like, she really is kissing with her eyes open. Close your eyes, woman. Close your mouth and close
your
eyes.
Close your eyes. Close everything.
Hide your kids, hide your wife. Yeah. Oh, what's your huh?
I'll start with a preview, huh? My secondary, huh, is I remember this movie being funnier. We talked about this a little bit on the show. And again, we did laugh a lot. You know, we shared all the gags and stuff. So, like, you know, I was laughing throughout this movie, but it was more like the background stuff.
Yes. You know, agreed.
When it was trying to do things with the characters and the plot, like, it's like, ugh, okay. So, like, that's my preview, huh, is, like, why do I remember this movie being funnier? My real huh is, how did Dead Meat solve global warming?
Right. Yeah, that would have been interesting to find out.
Yeah, like,
And would you consider, this movie is 33 years old this
I was thinking about that as well. Yep.
Yeah, yeah, and they're 33 years old, and global warming was a topic.
We should listen. Ago.
Yeah. Why didn't we get that out of Dead Meat's pocket?
I know. He had it 33 years ago. Now the ice caps are melting. Thanks, Dead
Meat. That's right. Yeah. Thanks, buddy.
So, folks, that's 1991's Hot Shots. And Oz, this is a 5 week because the way
it is.
And let's talk about Flix Land. We measure time by Wednesdays, and
that's
this,
right.
And this month, January 2024, has 5 Wednesdays in it. So we get a 5-weeker this month.
We do, which means you get a bonus rhyming title.
Yes.
And we are going to easily go into next week with the best film of the month.
Yes, yeah. If you're looking at sheer film quality,
yeah.
This is better than Hot Shots. This is better than Super Troopers.
Yeah.
It just ekes out action jackson.
Barely.
just barely. Very comparable to the Carl Weathers masterpiece.
But no, we're gonna watch Kill Bill Volume 1 for next week.
Yes, we are.
A movie that is also 20 some years old.
Uh-huh. Man.
Yeah. Yeah. We saw that together.
We did see this together. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is this the one we saw in Chicago?
This is one I got Entertainment Weekly pre-release tickets to, and we drove into Chicago and had our minds blown.
Yeah, I think it was at the River East.
Yeah. Because we were already Tarantino fans.
Yeah.
But again, 20 years ago, you were still in the first half of Tarantino.
Yeah.
But yeah, this was one that I snagged some Entertainment Weekly pre-release tickets to, and we drove into the city and caught Kill Bill on the big screen before it was released, and we were just like, that was amazing.
Yeah.
And so now we're going to bring it to you now. So next week we will be covering the first Kill Bill movie, Kill Bill Volume 1, which, if you know Tarantino at all, doesn't really matter what order they're in, because this movie starts in chapter one. It's really the second murder, and it's
it's the George Lucas approach.
Exactly. So I've got about, I think, 45 minutes left to watch it. It's been quite a while since I've seen it.
Yeah, I still got to sink my teeth in. That might be a tomorrow thing for me.
Yeah, it's been at least a decade since I've seen it. But it's just such a great film.
Yeah. I really enjoy the Kill Bill films. The first one I find a little more. We'll get into this more next week.
Yeah.
But if somebody came up and said, "Hey, do you want to watch Volume 1 or Volume 2?" I'm usually going to go Volume 1.
Volume 1. I would as well.
I don't know. I like the pace a little bit more.
Yeah. Yeah. I like the how do I want to frame it? The experimentalism of it. Like you get the animation backstory of Oren Ishii, which is just awesome.
Yeah.
You get some of the establishing stuff. Like, part two definitely feels like they're finishing the film, but everything that you need to know is in part one.
Yeah, I'm even looking at the IMDb ratings. Volume one is 8.2, volume two is 8.0.
Yeah.
So,
like, I think, you mentioned the pacing, which I agree with 100%. In volume two, when she gets to Bill, I feel like the movie just drags.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't happen in volume one. Volume one keeps you going, and but still, there you get the Tori Hanzo stuff, and it's just there's a lot of in and outs of different vibes, and that really goes well. Like I think Uma Thurman brought a lot more acting ability to volume one than she did to volume two.
Sure.
So
that's fair.
But no, Kill Bill volume one for next week. So that'll be fun. I'm really enjoying it, but it's definitely a movie that I got to make sure I'm watching when the kids are upstairs.
Yeah.
Although
you don't want to learn about the wagon.
Yeah, exactly. But where I'm at now is I just started the, House of Blue Leaves.
Yes. Yes.
You know, where we've got the crazy 88s. And so it's like, now everybody's about to start speaking Japanese, so it's okay. But yeah, so we are on social media, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, Patreon link down below, like I mentioned. And we'll be back next week to continue talking about Kibble Volume 1. Because
we've already started now.
Yeah. So yeah, it's like this episode is the Kill Bill Volume 1 to next week's Kill Bill Volume 2, Kill Bill Volume 1. Like, we just segue into it early on. So, no, for Let's Talk About Flicks, I'm Oz.
I'm Curtis.
We'll see you guys next week with Kill Bill Volume 1.